This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Carl Jackson. Carl, how are you?
I'm really well. Thank you.
Carl, how are you involved with digital asset management?
Well, since 1995, I've been the audio and video production lead for the President's Own United States Marine Band here in Washington, D.C. And what the band does is it provides musical support to the White House, to the President of the United States, and to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And so in that capacity, we perform all manner of ceremonies in and around the Washington, D.C. area. And in addition, we have a very active public concert schedule. We typically will play at least one public performance every week. And so as you can imagine, we have quite an archive of wonderful audio and video recordings. We've been in existence since 1798. And we've been making audio recordings at least since the late 1880s. And so when I took over the Marine Band as the audio and video production lead, one of my primary responsibilities was to be the steward, really, of all of those audio recordings and video recordings. And so that's how I got involved with digital asset management, was first taking care of all of those analog recordings, but then increasingly digitizing those recordings and dealing with born digital recordings, and then making all of those recordings available to our musicians, our musical directors, and increasingly to the general public.
Carl, why does a military band use digital asset management?
Well, it was really the late 1990s when it became clear to us that we needed to have a process for dealing with an increasing quantity of digital files. And these initially were digital audio files that resided on all manner of media, from Betamax tapes to digital audio tapes to compact discs. And so we had all of this media that we really wanted to have ready access to. And so we started thinking about how could we do that, and realized that our first task was really to decide what was important and to catalog that in a way that was useful to us, and then to make that all available to our musicians and directors. We have quite a lot of historical recordings, and all of those recordings are actively used by our video editors and by our audio editors, and in order to create products for historical projects and for public performances, and increasingly for web products, both on our own websites as well as YouTube websites and things like that. Now, our musical directors use the DAM quite a bit for research purposes. They need to have very quick and ready access to previous concert recordings in order to put together future events, not only at the White House, but also for our public performances. So, for example, the musical director may get a call from the White House tasking us with a performance for a specific diplomat that's going to be visiting, and the social event might have some very specific requirements. And so the musical director really needs to be able to tap into an archive of historical and current recordings to put together that program appropriately. So our musical directors use it quite a lot. Our musicians are using it quite a lot as well for research purposes. For a lot of our public performances, the musicians will use search tools to find performances that have been done in the past of pieces that they want to do in the future, both in order to learn how they have been performed historically, but also to kind of get ideas for how they might make those performances their own. So we really use the DAM systems and processes across the organization.
What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with digital asset management?
Initially, I think the first challenges that we faced were designing a system that really fit who we were. And what we wanted to be able to do was have a system that provided all of the information that we needed, but that wasn't so cumbersome that it didn't get used. And that challenge, I think we met by first just talking really deeply about who we are and how we work, and finding ways to describe our workflow and our organization using the tools of databases, you know, schema, and, you know, finding ways to link, for example, some of our sheet music assets with some of our performances, and then find ways to link those to audio recordings, so that we were really able to build a web of data that's really useful and usable, rather than just having a bunch of miscellaneous metadata that might not, at the end of the day, be really usable. And so that was the first challenge. And I think we faced it very successfully by just talking really deeply about who we were, like I said. Another challenge that we've faced over the years as technology has progressed is finding a way to make all of that information really available to our musicians in a way that they can easily use. Sometimes information can be kind of overwhelming, and especially information in the kinds of quantities that we are collecting. But we really needed a user experience that made it quite easy for anyone who used our systems to find what they needed in a really expeditious way. And we did that by, again, just talking really carefully with those audiences, building some use cases and figuring out what they really needed. And in some cases, we were able to provide that. In other cases, we found alternative ways to find those solutions. So user experience was just a really key aspect to getting a successful DAM system in place for us. Another challenge that we face, and this is probably one that many, many DAM managers in government face, is just the challenges that are implicit with implementing information systems projects around the government. There's just, you know, sometimes very costly and time-intensive systems to implement. And so that can be a challenge. I think the most successful way to face that challenge is just through patience and perseverance. And in my case, I did quite a lot of research into what the requirements were for government information systems, and I was able to figure out ways to get the job done in a way that wasn't maybe as onerous as it could have been. So those are some of the challenges. I think we've been able to face those pretty successfully. We've got a great team, and so I think, got a project that really works quite well.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Well, I'll just follow along with the team theme. I think building a great team to implement a DAM is really, really key, because digital asset management solutions, by their very nature, have a lot of different aspects to them. You know, you have all of the specific subject matter expertise that the content creators will have. You have specific subject matter expertise coming from the information systems side. You have expertise coming from the organizational and workflow side. And so you have to, I think, come at it from the perspective of building a great team first. And then I think that the processes and systems and workflows will all come out of that. But you, I think, have to start with the organization and the team and the people that are involved first. And so that's really probably the thing that I've tried to counsel my people on, is focus less on the technology and just more on the people that are using the technology. There are many, many DAM systems out there, and some are appropriate for some organizations more so than others. But at the end of the day, you need to find a system that works for your people and a set of processes that works for how they want to be working. I think beyond that, for people who want to be involved in DAM, is just start doing it. DAM is something that sounds very kind of possibly official and, you know, maybe even imposing, but it's really something that all of us do all of the time. And to be involved in DAM means just doing it increasingly well. So if you manage an iTunes system for your home computer, that's really doing DAM. And so if you're interested in DAM, dig into ways of doing that even better. And if you're really interested, it's really crucial to get involved in the community. There are so many smart people like yourself out there doing DAM, and it's really crucial to be listening to what they're saying and following what they're talking about and discovering new ideas and trying to bridge the gaps between communities of interest within DAM so that we can all just keep getting better at it.
Great point on making people, process, technology in that order. That's a good point to keep users on the forefront of that DAM is first of all about people. Well, thanks, Carl.
Oh, this has been fun. I love talking about this stuff. I sometimes feel like, you know, coming at it from a content side, I don't necessarily have all of the bells and whistles figured out, but I feel like some of this stuff is just really important for organizations, so I really enjoy it. And I've got to say, I really have enjoyed your podcast.
Thank you.
The folks you're pulling in, it's really neat to hear about some of the things that they're doing. You had a gentleman on recently talking about his experiences with Sesame Street. That was pretty cool. Here are some of the challenges that they faced, and thanks for doing that. That's really neat.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks again. I appreciate it from yourself and anyone who contributes to this podcast series, and there'll be plenty more.
Great. Look forward to them.
For more on this and other digital asset management topics, log on to another damblog.com. Another Damn podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog@gmail.com. Thanks again.